Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's After Show.
Yeah.
Wait, just let you guys listen to this music. When this started, when I watched the episode on stars.com, I just had chills, and the music in this show is just so good, and I'm so excited that Outlander has finally
premiered,
and we're here doing your after show for obviously your favorite show, Outlander. It's on Stars. This is season one, the premiere episode, Sassenach. I can't say that as sexy as Jamie Fraser can say it, but I will try, and I did do the YouTube kind of practice of how to speak Gaelic, which is the proper pronunciation, because
not Gaelic.
It's not Gaelic. It's Gaelic is the Irish pronunciation. Gaelic is the Scottish pronunciation. So welcome, everybody. I am your host, Keaton, and I have a great panel with me. Royal?
Hi, guys. I'm Roy Zaharian. I will try and do Scottish accents, but I cannot do it, so I'm sorry.
You already screwed up.
I wasn't trying. I'm just saying. I apologize ahead of time, but I love you. Please love me back.
And our newbie to a panel.
Yep.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. I'm Kendra Summer, and I'm pretty excited to try some of these accents, too. So
I'm not going to try, but I'm Ryan Hooks, and I'm just going to smile.
We have a boy, you guys, so he's no Jamie Fraser.
I was going to say.
But
Jamie Fraser's no Ryan Hooks. How about that?
Well,
call it what it is.
I was so excited that this finally started. I've been following all of the press leading up. They've done a lot of press. The kilt finally dropped.
With Stars, especially Roy and I did a Stars show, Black Sails, it was in this early part of the year. And like Stars, when they're doing these shows now, has put so much money into advertising. Like I've seen advertisements for Outlander on CBS during like primetime shows. I've seen it on AMC, watching other shows, and it's great to see that they're invested in their shows.
It almost feels like a huge motion picture has about to be released, because literally on billboards all over Los Angeles, the kilt drops.
And they're on buses.
On buses, on everything. And it just, I don't know. As a fan, I'm so excited.
Well, the fans are so great. I was at Barnes & Noble on Saturday, and some of the employees were dressed up as the characters.
Really?
It's so great.
For the release.
I tried so hard to find a kilt. I asked a number of my friends if they owned a kilt. I looked for a plaid skirt, because I went to Catholic school, but my skirt is back home in North Carolina. But I pulled out my boyfriend's plaid, looks like somewhat of a tartan shirt to represent.
You're a Clan McKenzie now?
I would like to think I'm in Clan McKenzie. I think I should be in, well, I just want to be in whatever clan Jamie's in.
Clan Outlander out here.
Clan Outlander. So let's what are you guys' overall thoughts on this episode? There's a lot of hype, but what did you feel? I know you've all read the books. What did you feel about the episode?
I thought it was shot really well. The music was amazing. The editing was great. I was happy with the casting, to be quite honest. I was curious of how they were going to do Frank and then John to see if they're going to cast the same person or if it was going to be a different person. I wasn't looking on IMDb. I wasn't doing that kind of cheating ahead. I wanted to see when I watched the show what it was going to become, and I loved what they did with that. They casted the same person with two different personalities.
But, overall, just episode.
Episode, it was...
You were happy with it.
I was very happy with it.
Kendra, overall, episode.
Well, I really liked it. I really like the shows that have strong female lead, and Claire has a great, you know, wit, and she's very sassy, and I was happy that they were able to convey from the book into the show. Mm-hmm. Great. I loved it. Just everything about it. Great.
Well, they definitely took the aspect of the romance novel, because, you know, this is a romance novel, even though it does have science fiction elements and it has a lot of history. You know, they took that with her voiceover and her narration. A lot of it was targeted at, like, you know, talking about her and her husband's sex life and how that was what brought them close. And I feel like that's going to play a major role later down the road.
I will not let you pigenhole this into a romance novel because you don't even. I saw an interview and Diana Gabaldon, she said that she's actually seen it, the book itself, been categorized as fiction, nonfiction, historical fiction, romance, horror. It has been in so many different genres. And she actually, when she first started writing the book, she actually...
Well, and that's part of the history. Like, she didn't know what she was writing. Yeah, and she started writing things that were happening.
She was just trying to practice writing because she wanted to be a writer. And so she just started practicing. She wrote about whatever she wanted in every single genre that she could. So there's not really a genre you
could
fit
this
book in.
It sort of fell
together. Yeah.
I'm not pigeonholing it as a romance novel by any means. I'm just saying there were definitely romantic elements that came through in both the narration by Claire and also the way that it was filmed. It was very cinematic in the aspect of the light and the contrast. There were scenes that kind of faded into black and white, you know, and the history they're talking about with World War II and then the flashbacks. And I love that aspect of it. And the music was excellent. Barry McCreyer, well done. As it twice this year.
Yeah.
Coming up big on Stars.
Yeah. I really did like it. I didn't know, like, how closely to the book are they going to be able to go? Like, how far into the book are they going to go? Because these are big books. These are people who maybe have not read the books. They're hefty books to get through. And, I mean, I'm so glad they didn't make this into a movie because there is absolutely no way you could have this story just, you could do justice to
as
the story
as
a 2.5-hour movie. There's no, even as a thriller,
a 16-episode season.
Yeah, you can't. And I think they put just enough in that first episode. I am glad that we it wasn't just pre-Claire going through time. We saw both sides, so it got us excited for this new life that Claire is about to embark on.
Well, Ronald Moore, the executive producer, did say that he wanted to keep it as close to the book as he could. Mm-hmm. And I think that's great that he's finally, you know, able to do that.
Yeah, and I remember, it was funny, I watched the panel at Comic-Con, and a guy got up in the audience and gave Ronald Moore a lot of crap because he did Battlestar Galactica and kind of, like, went, kind of, did his own kind of things with it and changed some things and is kind of known for just doing whatever the heck he wants. And it does seem like he has a very good relationship with Diana and she seems very happy with it. And she also has such a good kind of outlook on the TV show is that it's not the book. It's a version of the book. It's somebody else's interpretation of the story that she has in the book. And I just love that as an author, she's giving them that freedom, but she said she was very involved in kind of, you know, you need to keep that scene a little bit longer because that line, the fans are expecting
that line.
Yeah. That's important for, you know, as these, you know, episodes go along and as the seasons continue because these books go through a lot of these people's lives.
Yeah.
So. And it's good to see with the book and the following because if you think about a show that happened a couple years ago that was based off of a book that was a little bit older and the author was involved, it's kind of popular right now. It's called Game of Thrones. You've heard of it.
I love it.
It's on TV sometimes. And that's a similar thing where, you know, George R. R. Martin was very involved in the early process and helping them adapt the story, but really giving them freedom to change it a little bit, you know, and look what they've done with that.
Game of Thrones is a phenomenon, and I feel like this is Star's kind of opportunity.
It could be that.
It could definitely be Game of Thrones. And I know people are like, oh, but it's just focused for women. No. Any guy, like...
I like history, so to me the history aspect was really interesting. And I like learning about different cultures and the fact that her husband is a historian and he's talking about all these different events and got me like looking into other history things and talking about, you know, the Jacobites and history of that with the Stuart family. I started looking up that information and the history of the Standing Stones and that aspect. So I looked a bunch of that stuff up too.
That's what's so fun, I think, about TV and movies when it is part of history is it kind of... gets your curiosity going, and it makes you want to keep learning. It makes me wish I was kind of back in school and could go to my history classes with my favorite history professors and just sit there and watch, listen to them tell stories. I'm such a nerd. I'm so sorry.
If you had your big thick glasses and your flannel shirt over there, you'd be perfect.
I know.
You're getting hipster on us now.
So let's talk about the casting. I know, Roy, you said that you did not look up any IMDb's. Yeah. You kind of just wanted to see it. I, on the other hand, have been... As soon as I knew who was cast as Jamie, I looked it up and I was just like, no, that's not Jamie. Why? There's something about him I really didn't like in the pictures. But then I went on IMDb and I watched his reels. And the more I saw him on screen, the more I liked him. But I don't think I would have really fallen in love with him until I saw this premiere episode.
And it's interesting because really in your mind, he's just a character you've created out of something you've read.
Yes.
And now they're putting a face with a creation. And that's a big contrast for people. You know, I guess people coming into the show who have never read the book. And you see this guy like, oh, yeah, that's Jamie. Because that's who they've created for you.
Yeah.
As this character. And if they go back now and read the books, they're going to picture him as Jamie.
Mm-hmm.
But like people who are reading the books and then watching the show are going to have this inner monologue basically of fighting it.
Is that how... Did you see what Jamie looked like before? No.
And so like for me, like I'll compare it to Harry Potter. I saw the first 5 Harry Potter movies before I read any of the Harry Potter books.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, like visualizing the characters, you know, I picture Daniel Radcliffe as Harry Potter because
yeah.
that's what I had created in my mind. And I had no issue doing that because I had seen these movies and he had been created for me visually and I imagined that. So, and I know people that have created Harry Potter in their mind other ways and like, no, that's not what Harry would look like. He's totally different than that. And that's totally weird. So it's fun to see like how that can contrast in your mind and how you can struggle with it basically.
Yeah. It's hard, but I don't know. In another interview, I keep going back to these interviews because I followed this so closely. Even the author said, as soon as like they told her who they were thinking for Jamie, she was like, "Ugh." She like looked him up on IMDb in her car and was like, "Ew, like no, that is not Jamie." And she said, as soon as she saw his like kind of test tape or the tape that he sent in. She, like, watched it, and she was like, okay.
So he grew
okay.
on her.
Yeah, absolutely grew on her. And
so
I think
give him at least 3 episodes.
No, I love him. I love him. I'm not writing him off. I am just saying I should not have judged the book by its cover. I am so sorry, Sam.
Cover
literally.
Cover.
I am so sorry, Sam Heughan. I think you are a fantastic Jamie, and I'm so
He's
on
board.
He's
got that brooding look and the thick brow, like the thick face features.
Kendra, how do you feel about Jamie?
I love his accent, and I think, you know, I was like you and wasn't really sure, but now after watching the first episode, you know, I'm craving some Sam Heughan, you know?
I want him all up in my life.
I want to be on the horse with him.
All day, every day. I know.
Underneath the get together.
Yes.
Something just made me jump. Jamie, where are you?
Having a panic attack here. All right, bring him back in.
We're going to bring him back in.
So, and it's interesting with the casting of the show.
Yes.
And going back to Black Sails that Starz did, most of the people in the show are not overly well known.
No.
And that's great because they say the same thing with Black Sails. They created these characters with these unknown actors and you believe that that's who they were because you don't picture them in anything else.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I mean, other than, like I said, Graham McTavish, who is in the Hobbit movies, you don't have a visualization.
Well, and Tobias Menzies.
Right. But like not stuff that you would like outright picture him in these roles.
Yes.
So now these actors have the potential to be these characters. These can be their defining characters for the rest of their careers. Where basically when you think about them, you're going to think, oh yeah, remember them in Outlander?
Yeah. Well, and I know that was a lot of the concern. I remember when Katrina was first cast as Claire, is that she doesn't have that much experience. I mean, she did go to school for acting. She was a model for a while. But this is her first really big role. And to carry a character like Claire, that's a lot of responsibility.
Well, she was in Super 8. That was one of her first main ones, but this is very different.
I mean, this is like, she is leading lady. This is Claire's story. This is Claire's narrative. She does everything.
I think the advantage of the way the story is told, at least through the first episode, is because so much of it is voiceover,
mm-hmm.
they have the ability to do that over and over again in taping it so that they can get it right in the way that they want it to sound and the way they want people to hear it without having to show her and if she's maybe she's not quite there as an actress yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that she's not, but you know what I mean? Sometimes actresses that are newer and a little bit green, they come off a little bit different at first until they get comfortable with the role. And you see the progression over the series. But because so much of it's narrative, they probably could have recorded this narrative 1,000 times to get it exactly right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, my first opinion when I did see who they cast as Claire, that is not at all either how I pictured Claire. There's just something a little different. I don't know if I pictured her looking younger or, I mean, I don't know, because she's 20, I believe she's 24 in the start of this book. And so I think Katrina, but then you forget that war has, you know, obviously impacted her. And I know, and I do like that. So I've come to like that and understand that. But yeah, I don't know. There's something about her that didn't resonate with me at first. But again, once this episode, I don't have any questions after I saw this
episode. Yeah, I agree. When they showed her first standing in front of the vase and talking about it, I was like, okay. And then they cut to her being in the war and being the nurse. And then when the blood just got on her face and she's like, whatever, it's not a big deal. And she keeps working. To me, that was a huge character, like, moment where if she had a little subtle, like, hints of not being interested in it, the character wouldn't have worked for me.
I honestly think the scene that I was like, I'm with you, Katrina. This is Claire Randall, or this is I was literally it was not that exact part, but it was in that flashback scene. But it was when she gets handed the champagne and she just takes it back, and I was like, Claire, that's her. And it was amazing that they were able to, like, for people who haven't read the book, I felt like that flashback scene basically explains who Claire is it was probably a minute scene.
Now, not to go backwards a little bit, but we were talking about the narrative and how in the book, it is a narrative and it's her talking.
Yes.
As someone who hasn't read the book, they don't know that that's how the story is, that it's written in that format. For example, Hunger Games, if we're going to compare it to other books, that's written as a narrative. Like, you hear...
it's Katniss's story.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but they didn't use a voiceover, which kind of, in a way, doesn't work out. Some people say in the film, like, voiceovers are cheating. It's kind of telling the audience what you want them to know. But I think actually works really well, and I'm really happy that they decided to do the voiceover to explain her thoughts, to get to know her as
at least
as
early on. They can maybe drop it out after a few episodes even, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think voiceovers are cheating at all in the aspect of a storytelling format, because, you know, there are things that you want from this story that you have already gotten in the book, and you want it to be there because you feel like it should be, and this gives you the opportunity to get that.
It's kind of like the author holding your hand, kind of pulling you in. I liked it.
There was a lot of kind of controversy. A lot of people kind of were very critical of the voiceover after the episode came out, and I don't love it, but I am okay with it because it is. I think Ronald Moore said that, like, you know, this is Claire's journey, and a lot of, like, we have to see it through her eyes, and he needs to make sure, like, it's so important that we understand this story through her, not through our own eyes or anything. It's through Claire. So
what I like about it too, in terms of a character, is it gives us a really big contrast, because whenever she's talking and narrating, this is when we're getting the softer side of Claire. We're getting her inner thoughts about romance and about life and what she's been through. But when she's on screen and she's not narrating and she's being a character, she's being this strong feministic character that has been through a lot and is demanding and, you know, does what she wants. So it's giving us both sides of her as well, without having to see a big switch in her character in the scenes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It makes her more likable.
It does. And more relatable. Mm-hmm. I think as a woman of a different, completely different, obviously, generation, time period, two different time periods, I think as it does definitely make you connect with her a lot quicker.
Especially being a post-war person, because, like, so much about what we know about everything changed at the end of the war, World War II, in terms of, like, how women were viewed, because so much of the reason that we won the war was because women were involved and how they helped building bombs and building things to send over to the people fighting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they became a huge integral part of society, and that's basically what led into the women's movement, you know, getting the right to vote, and everything that led from thereafter was because of stuff that happened in this period.
Yeah, she was definitely a woman way beyond her time, and then she goes back in time even more so.
I love that line when she's like cussing and she's like, God, really? And she's like, I've never heard a woman talk like that. Your husband should tan your hide. Shut up.
I want to bring up the discussion about Tobias Menzies, who he plays Frank, and Black Jack Randall, and you know that decision and what you guys feel about that decision to cast one actor rather than two.
Well, what I like, so when I was watching the episode, I was like, I really like Frank. He's a sweetheart. I like how sweet he is and tender he is with Claire, and you know he'll go. Anyways, that's a different part of him that he'd go down on her. But he was sweet, you know. he was sweet. And so I was like, oh, all right, so how are they going to do his great ancestor? How's that going to work? Okay. And then they show him by the river, and it's him. And I was like, oh, but he's got that loose hair to make him
his
wild.
Hair was longer.
Yeah. I was like, oh, okay. And then his interaction with Claire, I'm like, oh, so he's got two sides. Okay, okay. He's a little bit. You know, you guys are staring at me. It's freaking me out. No, but it's just, I like the difference that the actor can play.
Yeah.
That he's a bad boy, and yet he can be a real sweetheart. And I can't decide if I hate Frank because of how his ancestor was, you know, how Black Jack was.
Yeah,
that's what's really upsetting for me.
We'll have to see how we feel about it once we get more about Black Jack and when we go back to Frank again.
Mm-hmm. So. But he reminds me of the guy from The Patriot, the bad guy.
Yes!
He's also
you mean Lucius Malfoy.
Lucius Malfoy,
No, I
thought the exact same thing.
The Patriot is my favorite movie of all time, so I'm really glad you just referenced that.
Well, he's in the red coat, too, so.
Great.
What were you going to say, Kendra?
Oh, I just feel like I'm the real opposite. Like, I didn't really like Frank, because I just felt like he was so distant from Claire. Like, he didn't really seem to connect, so it was kind of weird when they, you know, it just didn't feel very strong. The relationship. I just didn't like it.
When they talked about they'd been away from each other for 5 years. Mm-hmm. You know, they'd seen each other a total of 10 days in that 5 years, essentially. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this whole... The trip, the reason they took the second honeymoon was to try to reconnect and try to figure out who they were. Because they're totally different people than they were when they were married. And the only thing that they really had from before was the fact of having sex. Like, that's what kept them in the same room. But there was... I don't feel like there was, and you were saying with Frank, anything that he was trying to do to bring them back together in the aspect of, like, having conversation with her, doing other things other than a couple things.
Yeah. Well, even at times, he kind of shut her down. Like, she asked him to go pick the flowers with her, and he, you know, he had other things to do. And I just felt like he didn't really, you know, try.
I even when I was reading...
Setting up the romance.
Even when I read the book, it was really hard for me, for some reason, to connect with Frank. I don't know. There's something about Frank that I just don't connect with. And I think maybe that's just because Jamie's my type.
I think that's it. That's going to, with the way that we want to not connect with Frank because we want everything with Jamie to work.
Mm-hmm.
As fans and as enthusiasts of romance and everything, if there's a reason for her going into this that we like it, then it's easy to forget about Frank.
Well, it's almost like The Notebook. You know, you've got the stable guy, and then you have, you know, the guy...
The wild love interest. Yes. The stereotype.
Yeah. I don't know, because I don't want... I want to like Frank. I really, really do. And I did think they did a good job showing the type of relationship that they had. Like, I was very concerned and, like, wondering, okay, is it... Did I just not get the relationship when I read the book, or is that really how it is? And I think that's exactly how it was portrayed. On the show.
I agree with you about the book. I couldn't really connect with Frank either. And then that's why I was excited for the show, because I actually connected with Frank on the actual show.
Really?
Because of the way he was gentle with Claire. He would hold her hand as they went through the castle, and then their giggles together as they busted down the door. It's just, there was, maybe it was just a friendship that they had. Obviously no romance like you get with Jamie, which is kind of part of the point. But I still felt something with Frank. I still felt sympathy for Frank. Because
there's even that protective aspect that he has, because in the scene where he sees the ghost outside of the window...
Mm-hmm. Very, yeah.
And he's like, what are you doing? Can I help you? And, like, he's there to protect her. And he goes in, he's like, I saw something, and, you know, I was worried for you.
Well, and he has those insecurities as well of, like, you know, we were away from each other for 5 years. Like, what?
Yeah, he asked her if he had an affair. And outright asked her.
That's the only part I didn't like about him.
I wonder if it's setting up that if maybe he's going to say that he had an affair.
Oh, I thought that was coming up.
I was looking for that.
But we won't know.
Oh, gosh. Oh, my gosh. I just had a brain fart. I'm so sorry.
Thinking about Jamie?
Yes, always. I reread chapters 1 through 3 after I watched the episode just because I wanted to... I like comparing
then compare it.
Mm-hmm. And I actually, when I reread it, I liked Frank a lot more in the book. Like, I did see that tenderness when I reread it, but my initial opinions of Frank were not good. But when I reread it, I mean, there's this whole scene about how he memorized the lines on her hand.
And he would draw her hand.
And draw her hand.
And they talked about that a little bit in the episode.
You know, the things that... I just think Frank is just... He's very much... He's a lot more closed off and quiet, and he doesn't really...
Well, he's an intellectual type.
Yes, he's very much an intellectual.
He is very much inside his head. He's very much consumed with what he does, and it doesn't mean that he loves her any less. It doesn't mean that he cares for her in any way less. It's just that he doesn't show it the way that someone like Jamie would.
He has good intentions, but he just doesn't know how to act on it. You know, I feel like Jamie's more, you know...
I feel like he's so traditional.
Mm-hmm.
So traditional.
And I guess in a way, Claire is the one always taking the initiative to do, to have that sexual relationship with him.
She is a feisty little lass.
As her palm would have read, you know.
So let's move into kind of the episode itself. I know we've touched on it a lot, but like, you know, how closely the episode did follow the book and didn't. Like, what things you guys felt like were left out and you wish were in it, or what things, you know, they added.
We should probably clarify with people listening,
yes.
We will not spoil anything.
We don't want to spoil anything.
Yes.
If you do watch our after show, thank you. but this is the after show for the show. We were obviously have all read the book. Don't slip. Well, we maybe should have a swear jar, so if anybody ever slips, it spoils it. But, you know, if you guys want us to talk more about the book and maybe a little, you know, further ahead in the book, let us know and we'll do it. You know, rate, comment.
Yeah.
And get us on iTunes.
our little turn there.
Talk about it.
Yeah. You can download this podcast for free on iTunes.
One and over 100 other ones.
Absolutely. You can check us out on YouTube. You can watch our beautiful faces on YouTube.
Do you know that AfterBuzz TV is in over 100 countries?
Really?
That's
is
you know
it
that
in
we
Scotland?
Get, it, I'm sure it's
I'm
in
sure
Scotland.
It's in Scotland.
That we get over 27 million weekly downloads at iTunes.
And you guys should add to that.
Help contribute.
Absolutely.
Help contribute. Absolutely. Can we actually just talk about Scotland and how beautiful it is?
Apparently, there's a contest going on right now. That,
yeah, I entered it.
Oh, yeah. My mom apparently entered me, my dad, and everyone else so she can go too.
You can win a trip to Inverness in Scotland.
And visit the set.
Through Outlander and go to the set.
So.
What?
It was on Twitter on the Outlander page. Outlander_stars.
Sorry, guys. I got to go. I got to just go live for this.
Keaton will be right back.
We'll be right back. That's awesome. I love Scotland. I've been there before, and it is one of my favorite countries that I've ever visited. And I love the people there. The people are... Everybody I've met from Scotland are Scottish people. They're so nice. They're so fun. They're very warm. And I just love that they actually filmed there, and that the cinematography is so beautiful that literally you just get so drawn in to... Like, I watched it on my computer, and I felt like I was in the high, like, really there. It was just
beautiful. Listen, I've got a 55-inch HD TV, so we should watch it at my house. It looks even better on the big screen.
It literally felt like I was watching a movie. Not a series. It felt like I was watching a movie.
The cinematography is so well done with the contrast and coloring and the way they lit a lot of the stuff. Like, so there was even scenes where they kind of faded into black and white and back and forth, like, early on and throughout the scenes.
When she's walking through, the war scene, too, when she walked through, her dress wasn't...
It faded in and out of coloring, and they actually colored, I think, some of it, which made it really, like, rich and vibrant and very visually stimulating.
Yeah. And John Dahl is the director for this episode. Good choice.
Amazing. Yeah. So good.
I'm sorry, what was your original question?
I wanted to talk about Scotland.
Oh, yes.
But yeah, Scotland's awesome, and everybody should go visit Scotland. And if this show doesn't make you want to go to Scotland, I don't know really what will.
Nothing.
I mean, you could...
You can go play golf at Inverness.
Sam is from Scotland. So let's keep going through the episode, because that's where we were. I do want to talk about just again the points that were in the book and were not. One of the biggest things that was not in the book that they did have on this episode was that scene with Claire and Frank in
the
castle. Not on the bed.
Oh.
In the castle. That was not. They did in the book. They did have a scene where it was right after they watched the dance of the ladies, mm-hmm. And she did reference that she didn't have any panties on.
Yeah, so when they're visiting Castle Leoc and they're basically exploring the castle.
Yes. Yes. So it was a little different, and they kind of blended some scenes together and stuff like that. But sorry, they're like sending us messages.
Nick sucks, but thanks anyway. You're doing a good job. What
do you guys feel about, obviously, the romance parts of these novels are very graphic, and that's kind of why some people really like them. But like, what did you think about that actually being shown and like the different sex scenes? And
I'm glad they did.
Well, I thought it was great. You know, more power to them.
I think it just added to. I think it added to Claire's character. Mm-hmm. Like, she is in control, and she's just like, and it just, yeah. I like.
I don't think it was too much.
No, yeah. I thought it was very. It was. Very
I was
well
shocked
done.
Of how less. I was expecting a lot more, just because it is Stars, and with Black Sails, there's always sex, 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 and you know, nudity.
Oh, you just wait.
No. I'm ready. But I'm just saying for the first episode, right? But still, I was like, okay, sex. No, okay. I felt like a pervert waiting for it to happen.
Sex.
But I thought it was done. It was a good amount.
Yeah, they don't want to scare away the people who maybe are not used to seeing that. I mean, you know, Stars, people, it's not HBO. HBO, like,
Cinemax over there.
It was tasteful.
It was very tasteful. You know? And it was so romantic. Like, yeah, I thought the lighting, it was great. Absolutely great.
Well, and with the viewership, let's talk about that. Because I saw online the other day that as of Friday, before the episode even aired, they had already had 1 million views of the episode because they released it a week early. Mm-hmm. They did it on YouTube, which is the same thing they did with Black Sails. Mm-hmm. And Black Sails got like 3 million views after the first week, which is the largest airing of a show that they had ever had. Mm-hmm. So I think they're getting smart with this. Hey, let's give the free weekend of Stars this weekend through Time Warner and the cable companies. Let's release the first episode on YouTube so people can watch it early. And they're getting that turnover. Yeah. People are seeing the billboards. They're seeing the advertisements. They're checking it out. And that's going to only add to the viewership, which is also going to add to the money, which is also going to add to the quality of the product. You know, and it's just this whole steamrolling effect.
Well,
that
I am all for.
That's very smart because it already has a huge fan base. Yeah. So by doing that, they're just, you know, building that up.
Yeah, I mean, this book was published 23 years ago is when this first book came out. So, I mean, not only is it a huge fan base, I mean, I know the reason I got into the book was because my girlfriends back home read it. And I'm 25. And I, like, for... So this book, I was very little when this book came. I just realized that I was 2 years old when this book came out. And so to think about, you know, how it spans generations, and I think that if they can do that with the TV show as well,
Game of Thrones.
That's the exact same
situation. This book is really old, and suddenly it got this big following, and now they like made a show about it, and.
Well, it's funny you say the age thing, because my mom's book group actually is reading this, and that's how I...
Oh, yeah. My mom, too. She passed it off to me. She told me that she's canceling HBO, and she's going to get Stars because of Outlander, and she's super excited for it. And she did that a year ago, so that was even before it was even started filming, so she was ready to go.
And, you know, Roy and I talked about this show in February, about pitching a panel for the show, potentially, or, like, you know, the idea that we could do the show.
I wrote Phil as soon as I found out that I wrote Phil and I was like, Phil!
Outlander. Phil's our producer. So let's go back to the episode though and talk about the talking points of the episode. We're getting off track here.
Yeah, absolutely. What was your favorite scene in the episode? Kendra, I'm going to start with you.
Let's see. I have so many, but I really like how they did the time travel.
Okay.
I was very excited that it wasn't very sci-fi-y. It was very, you know, real. It was just her, you know, in the car with the car accident. And mm-hmm. I love that.
That's how she compared it to a car accident, essentially. And, like, that's what she felt like when she was free-floating through time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was one thing I did really appreciate about the narration is that it was almost word for word of what was in the book. I liked that so much. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Ryan, was that your favorite scene?
No,
too?
My favorite scene was actually when they went to watch the witch gathering at the Standing Stones when they're doing the ritual, and the music was amazing. Like, that was my favorite music of all, because it was very Scottish Highland and very, like, got you amped up, and they were just dancing around, and the sun was coming up, and
it was beautiful.
That was my favorite
scene. Oh, it was
scene.
So beautiful. They, In the show, though, they used fire, and in the book, they do not use fire. And Frank asks Claire when she goes back to get the flowers, can you check if there's any traces of fire? Because in most rituals, they use the fire. And so I don't, again, I don't want to.
I'm so embarrassed.
Roya, what was your favorite scene?
Yeah.
I loved all of it. I can't just choose one. I really loved when they're in the car and they're just driving, like just the scenery of everything.
Oh, just the backdrop. Yeah. When they're going through the hills and you're seeing the rock formations and
yeah,
all that.
Besides the scene where we meet, like the flashback scene, besides that scene, I love the tea leaf reading scene. Oh. That happened literally exactly how I imagined it would have happened in the
with
book.
With Mrs. Bard.
No, Mrs. Bard owned, it oh, wasn't yeah. Mrs.
Graham.
Bard.
Ms. Graham.
Ms. Graham. Ms. Graham, yeah.
I loved that scene. I just, it was exactly, and I just felt like the acting was really, really good, and I just really, that's exactly how I wanted that scene to be.
I really like the scene that Ryan mentioned earlier about how Claire is sewing and she's cursing at the same time, and she just yells back at them.
After he gets shot, and they're basically, he falls off his horse and passes out.
Yeah.
And they've been riding for a while, and she's like, you idiot, like, why did you tell us? And she's cussing at him, and so, like, do you guys have any iodine? And, like, asking for chemicals, and they're like, what? Huh? Alcohol?
I loved the way the Scottish men were portrayed. I loved the clan. I just, they were so funny. It almost reminded me, funny enough, of Lord of the Rings, of the Hobbit movies, and of the group that's traveling, that travels with
the Hobbits, like little ones.
Yeah, well, they're not all hobbits or dwarfs.
All the dwarfs are very like,
and so it just, and they're so lovable, and they're so, they were really, really funny, and they're funnier than I anticipated them to be, and I think that was a great balance in the episode of kind of the seriousness and the comedy. I like
one thing that I would have liked that they really didn't do in the show is they didn't really introduce people in the aspect of talking about who they were. Like, they didn't say, hey, this is, you know, so-and-so, or hey, this is so-and-so, and give a name. Because early on, especially if you haven't done what we've done and looked up characters and looked up IMDb and, like, got all that, you're not really sure for sure who's who yet. So you're trying to, like...
But you're also in Claire's perspective, though, so you don't really know
who
they
are. And she doesn't know,
yeah,
right.
Exactly.
But they could have maybe gave some in the aspect of talking to her.
And I don't know if you guys noticed that, like, when they did speak the Gaelic, they didn't have subtitles. And they did that on purpose because... Claire doesn't understand it, so why should the audience understand it? And if we're watching this through Claire's eyes, we shouldn't know what they're saying. But we still, I mean, they do it in such a way that you still know exactly what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. You can really figure it out, and that's, you know, a testament to the acting and just the direction of the shots and stuff. I really, the Scottish men. I can't wait to get more of them.
Not just Jamie, more of all of them.
Gotta get them all.
Gotta catch them all.
Gotta catch them all. So let's talk about, like, when, because we haven't really talked much about when Claire does actually go into, go back in time.
When she goes to the Standing Stones.
Yes.
She goes back to the talking rock. Why would you go to a rock that's talking or making noises? I'd be like, peace out. I got
Craig
my flowers. Nadun? I'm going to go now.
Craig Nadun.
These Manhire stones, if you will. So it's interesting that, like, that's what she used as well in the writing and the story. Because if you think about, like, Manhire is basically a long stone or standing stone, what they refer to. And there are thousands of these around the world. I mean, Stonehenge obviously is the most famous. And a lot of, there's history, but you don't know why they're there. A lot of them were ritualistic, as we saw. But the fact that there was a ritual and then it created a time portal, like, crosses this whole world of, like, history meets sci-fi.
Again, she just, Diana doesn't care. She's like, I'm just going to write.
I'm just going to write. Well,
and then Ron's just going to make it happen.
And it's interesting that, like, it was Halloween, and that's why there was a ritual, and then that's when the portal opens for her to travel through. And
do you know what another scene I really liked? I liked the ghost scene. That's exactly how I expected that scene to happen. And
when Frank sees the ghost outside the window?
Yeah.
It was scary. It kind of got me scared when he turned around real quick.
I jumped a little bit. I watched this stuff, so I jumped a little bit. Ghost stories are scary. And Claire's, like, literally cursing in the mirror at her hair. It's like, oh, bloody hell. She just has the mouth of a sailor, and I love that. She's so relatable in that way. She's this beautiful woman, but she's so hardened by war, but she's still fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And sassy and sweet.
Well, I like when she goes back then in terms of, like, the travel aspect, because she basically drove to the Standing Stones in, like, a half hour. And then they're traveling for, like, 2 days to get back to the castle.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, like, funny that, you know, she's in a car and they're going 50 miles an hour. And on the horseback, they're going, you know, another 5 to 7 hours.
Mm-hmm. And I love that scene when she goes back looking for the car. Everything that she touched on her way into the stones was different.
Yeah.
It was untouched.
Right.
Yeah. And I just like that comparison. There's a lot of comparing in this episode that I really liked to back then and to now. Is that the right way?
1940s.
Yeah.
17.
Her current life to when she got 40s, sent back.
Yeah.
Comparison-wise.
Well, yeah. They brought it back because with the history, like as he was talking about the events that happened hundreds of years ago, she's like, oh, that rock up there, British soldiers used to ambush people up there.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's an ambush.
She's able to warn them. And you know what we haven't really talked about is the scene where Claire is kind of somewhat accepted / questioned a lot when she fixes Jamie's arm in that first interaction.
Because they're going to pop it back in wrong, and she pops it back in place the right way.
Yeah.
I really wanted them to, because in the book, the men do try and pop it back in, and they do it incorrectly. I was hoping they were going to do that in the scene.
And have it mess it up.
Yeah, and then she'd be like, no. But then at the same time, I kind of did like that she stopped them from doing it.
No, well, in the book, she stops them from doing it before, because she's seeing them kind of like do it. And then she sees that they're going to basically break his arm if they snap it at that angle or push it in that angle. And I don't even know why I'm doing this. So this just seems like what they would have been doing wrong.
Since he was sitting up, yeah. The other thing you can always do is pull it straight out and put it back in. But she rotated it into the socket.
Hey, Nurse Ryan.
Listen, if you pop your arm out of place and put it back in once or twice, you know, it is what it is.
I just think it's so cool they gave her such a great trait like that. So, you know, she'd be able to work with them.
Because it's very universal, and she's going to be accepted because of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're like, are you a wet nurse? And she's like, no. Not a wet nurse. The one thing is that I wish kind of would have been more is I felt like the transition of Claire being, because she argues against herself so much in the book when she first goes back in time of like, this is not real. This is obviously, like they're shooting a movie, mm-hmm. or they're doing something like this. Like, it's such a struggle for her to come to maybe the thoughts or allow the thoughts that this has actually happened, that she's gone back in time.
She comes to it very quickly in the episode.
Yeah.
When the guy shoots at her.
Right. Yeah. She's like, have I stumbled onto a set of a movie? But then she's running and meets Captain John Randall.
Which, that was a cool scene.
Yeah.
That was a cool scene. And I like their chemistry kind of as enemies more than I like it as a romance between those two.
Well, and it's interesting because that also can kind of relate back to the distance of their relationship in the future, or the present, rather,
mm-hmm.
versus what it is the past. Because that's almost like it's the same relationship that they kind of have where they are at odds with each other in both time periods.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So it makes it better that he's a villain, because at least she has the justification for being distant to him, versus in the, you know, the current 1945, in a future, that, I don't know, there's so much time travel going on.
So as we get to the end of this episode, they are finally arriving at
Kesslayoc.
Kesslayoc. Which, here's a bit of trivia for you guys. It's actually the same castle that they filmed Monty Python and the Holy Grail at. So that's kind of a fun. If you go back and watch Monty Python and the Holy Grail,
the Knights of Nee.
But yeah,
I
thought that was really cool that they did that, and I would have geeked out if I got to work on set that day. That was the castle I got to go shoot at.
Did you bring coconuts?
Right, yeah. You need your coconuts. I got
them. Where did you find coconuts in Mercia?
So yeah, we see them going up to the castle, and obviously
she sees herself.
Yeah.
By the tractor that's rusted out.
Yeah, it's like she has that flashback. So that's really cool. And that's what I really like, how they had such a established scene of her and Frank exploring that castle
mm-hmm.
before we see her going up to the castle. And that's where they kind of ended it. There's a lot more characters that
I wish there was a little more suspense at the end.
And not just
I feel like it was... It sort of ended kind of slowly to me. And I feel like that's one downfall for people that aren't really big fans of the book, that are just maybe watching the show because they saw it, that it's not, at this point, it's not enough to necessarily bring you back.
Okay. That didn't want to bring you back to know more about...
I mean, it does, but, like, you know what I mean? If it's some people that are just maybe catching it because they got a free weekend of Stars, was it enough to make you want to subscribe to Stars and come back?
I think yes, just because of how... For me, it was the way it was shot was really, it was like, whoa, there's a lot of money put into this production.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautifully done. I would definitely come back for it, to watch it. Just saying, even since that's how it ended, I still liked it. It kept me wanting more.
I mean, I haven't seen a production of this quality in a long time, so I would definitely go back.
And you didn't watch Black Sails.
Well, and I also think a cool thing to point out about this show is that
Jamie,
where it kind of differs from, because we've compared it to Game of Thrones a lot, but it differs a lot from Game of Thrones because Game of Thrones, I feel like, has a lot of kind of special effects in it, where mm-hmm. this show
doesn't.
It's
the land.
It's the castle. It's everything that is that all. That's what it looks like there on like while they're on set. So I appreciate that, and I hope mm-hmm. they continue to do that and like leave it more natural and leave the special effects out of it.
Can I ask you guys
a
question?
Visual effects, I should say. Special effects like makeup. Like I want them to stick. Do real things.
You don't
things.
Want computer effects.
I don't want computer effects, yeah. Visual effects.
CGI based on
backgrounds. Yeah, I don't want CGI. I don't
and...
want all that. No.
Quick question.
Go.
Tell me.
Who do you guys think is the ghost? That man that was in the beginning when Claire was brushing her hair. Who do you think is the ghost? There is no spoiler in this whatsoever. I want to know, as fans and as everybody, who do you think that ghost was?
Jamie.
Think it was?
Okay. That's a good one.
Just saying, so comment
and she
below.
Sips out of her mug smugly.
Could be, I don't know. I just wanted to ask that question.
I mean, it's possible
guys.
That he's watching her because he's now dead 200 years later.
Well, that'd be great if it was Jamie. That'd be just such a twist.
What if they bring him back around?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll find out. So, are we ready for predictions?
Yeah.
I think we need to do some AfterBuzz TV predictions.
We need to do some AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Let's do it. Yeah. There it is. End of flashlights. It's like we're traveling through time.
No. This is just sci-fi.
Without a car crash.
All right. So since none of you saw previews for the next week's episode, I will tell you what I saw. So in the previews, they were talking in the voiceover. Claire basically is saying that, you know, she's in this situation and she needs to now acclimatize herself very quickly to what's going on around her. Also that they think she could be a spy.
Yep.
And her number one goal is to get back to the stones.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Obviously very generic, but they were showing some various scenes with her in relation to what's going on in the community that she's in with the people that live there.
The Mackenzie clan.
All the people in the clan, yes. So what are we looking for next week?
Sadly enough, I don't think we're going to get sex from Jamie yet.
Too soon.
I think, you know, this episode was a lot of kind of exposition. They had to let you really kind of see the character traits of, I feel like, Claire.
Especially Claire.
Especially Claire, but Jamie and Frank / Blackjack. And I think, you know, it's going to be a little bit of the same next week because there's a lot more very important characters to come into Claire's life to make this story what it is. And so I kind of expect a lot of that, a lot more narration and, meeting a lot of new people.
A lot of the Mackenzies will come in, I think.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I'm wondering what they're going to do with Frank in the next week's episode. You know, I wonder if they're going to show his life continuing or what they're going to do.
If they'll pick it up, basically, like, he's missing her. I actually am expecting more with Blackjack. I think he's going to show up because they talked about that he's always on patrol and always looking for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is in the middle of a rebellion. So, you know, they will bring him back in, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it?
I don't want to say anything that slips because I've read the book, so I don't want
to
spoil anything.
I'm going to
plead the fifth and not say anything, but I think it's going to be what I hope to see shot wise: more green.
Safest thing I could say.
More
Jamie. Can Jamie just call me up and call me?
Let's call him.
Yeah, Jamie. Sam Heughan. Hi, I'm Keaton.
Bring your kilt.
Come visit.
We're working on it.
Yeah. Well, where can we find you guys? I want to know while we
ladies?
Go away. I think that. Yeah.
Raya, where can we find out more about you?
You guys first.
Ladies first. Do it.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm Kendra Summer, so at Kendra Summer on Twitter.
How do you spell Kendra Summer?
It's going to be KendraSommer.
And Ryan, where can we find
you?
Hey,
you can find me at RyanHooks92 on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. I'm also on a couple other shows here at AfterBuzz TV, The Musketeers, which I just filmed right before I came in here, and A Big Brother with Keaton every Thursday.
Hi.
Roya.
And guys, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Hey Roya. That's HEYROYA. And I'm also on other panels like Masters of Sex, so I apologize. That's before
this. That's why she's all like sex.
That's why, yeah, I apologize, guys. But That's you get what I'm getting at. Keaton.
He is a pervert.
Whoa!
So,
you guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Keaton Markey. That's KeitinMarchi. And you could probably also find me on a lot of the Outlander fan sites.
Keaton M33?
No, Keaton M33 changed. So, it's now Keaton Markey because that's my name. So,
well, I better follow you then.
Yeah. Well, it's the same thing. I still have the same thing. Don't worry, but thank you guys so much for watching. We are so excited about Outlander, if you couldn't tell. And, you know, tune in next week.
We'll be here. Episode 2. See you then.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.